Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
My name is Nelly. For those of you who are new here, I'm the senior pastor of this church, and we're so glad to have those of you who are guests with us. Can we give it up for our guests who are here for the first time? Yeah, so good to have you with us here. We're actually going through the series called This Is Us. And we've been going through the values of this house so you can get to know us a little better. Let's get into what we're going to be talking about today. As a church, we talked about in the first week, we talked about the value of worship. And worship is our response to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Offering ourselves, Romans 12 verse 1, offering ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable before God, for this is our spiritual worship. And so worship comes out as a lifestyle from the transformation that happens within us under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We believe that worship is more than just singing, more than just this service. It's a lifestyle of living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and having Him lead us. How many of you believe that, right? And then last week, we talked about the value of discipleship, and we talked about how Christ's commission, I'm actually going to be talking, extending on that a little bit more today, but Christ's commission for us is to go into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe or to obey the commands that He's given us, and He will be with us always to the ends of the earth. The value I'm going to be talking about next week, and I've got a special tag team partner. For those of you WWE fans, we're like the Usos. But myself and Henry are going to be preaching next week. We're going to be tag team back again. So we're going to be doing that next week, and we're going to be speaking on the value of family together. But today, I'm going to be talking about outreach. Outreach is another one of our values, our core values here at Every Nation Brisbane. Outreach in this house manifests itself in missions, manifests itself in church planting, manifests itself in city outreach as well, being a people of compassion, and manifests itself in evangelism. But if you wouldn't mind, could you stand to your feet with reverence for the Word of God? Let's read together from Genesis 11. This is going to be a new take for some of you with regards to outreach, because not many people go to Genesis with regards to outreach, but I really felt led of the Lord to go here, and especially this passage. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Genesis 11, we'll be reading off the screen together. 1, 2. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of all. Oh my gosh, my reading's terrible today. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Father, we thank you that this is your word, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Lord, you are the living word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Awaken us to what you desire to speak to your children today. Lord, I want to move out of the way. We want to hear from you. We want to hear directly from you today in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen. Today, the title of my message is Outreach, Towers and Travels. Towers and Travels. Now, we're simply going to break this scripture down, because that's how we roll, right? We'll let the scripture speak for itself. It says here, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. How many of you, when you hear the words plain and settle, how many of you sense that this is kind of an easy place to live in? It's not plain as in like plain Jane. It's plain as in there's no mountains, there's no valleys, it's just plain. Just like plain. And when you live in a plain, you don't live there, you kind of settle there. When you settle, you're making a decision to think, man, I'm just here for the long haul. There's nothing better to do. Let's just settle here. And that's the connotation in reading the Hebrew as well. The Hebrew for the word Shinar, which is the plain that they were in, right? The land of Shinar. How many of you see, okay, there's the word plain here in the land of Shinar and settle there. How many of you think, okay, we'll be able to find out what Shinar is and what it means. And interestingly enough, the Hebrew word Shinar means sleeping while supposed to be watching. Let me just come into my mode of confession here. I'm not the perfect dad. There's times when I'm supposed to be watching the kids and I either watch the back of my eyelids or watch my phone and my kids are up to something. Many of you have met my children. I'm not going to embarrass them for the sake of this is going on internet history. But my kids kind of know my ebbs and flows. Even the particular child that you think wouldn't know my ebbs and flows probably knows my ebbs and flows the most. Anyway, so he's kind of always looking around the corner to see if I'm looking. And then he'll either go into the refrigerator and dive into something he's not supposed to eat, or he'll play with something that he's not supposed to play with. It's because I'm sleeping while I'm supposed to be watching. Or at least, maybe I'm not sleeping, but I am disengaged. How many of you know that you can be awake but be asleep? Many of us in life move through life asleep while awake. You're awake biologically. Hopefully none of y'all are experiencing this right now. I pray in the Spirit of Jesus that your spirit will be open to receive what the Holy Spirit has for you. But like you can go through life without being awakened in the Spirit. And this is what happens. Like and I quote this often, you know, Lecrae has a quote. Lecrae, the Christian hip hop artist, he says, are you living or are you breathing to death? People that breathe to death are sleeping. They carry what you call a slumbering spirit. They're still not awakened to their purpose, to the possibilities of what God has for us. They live in the plain of Shinar, sleeping while they're supposed to be watching. And the Bible says that all the peoples on the earth had residence, had settlement there in the land of Shinar. So what do they decide to do? Okay, sleeping people. Okay, you can do this really quickly. Just turn to your neighbor and just shake them up a little bit. If they'll give you permission, just... So you need to hear this, all right? I don't want you to be asleep. In fact, turn the lighting up just a little bit, all right? Because I need y'all to be awake for this one, okay? Because this is gonna, I want you to catch this in the spirit. What I want you to see is that when you are in a sleep mode, you build differently. Look at how they build when they are asleep. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Looks like that on Minecraft. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. So they build for themselves in the plain. Notice the geography. It's just plain. So they decide, let's build ourselves this tower. But I want you to catch the prerequisites of this tower. It says here, with its top in the heavens. So the idea was to walk like God. Now, how many of you know, like, it's great if you carry a God-likeness in the sense that we want to be like God. But there's a difference between being like God and wanting to be on the same stature like God, as in status. There's a difference. It's a subtle difference, but it's a difference. And that's actually the root of the first sin, is idolatry, right? When Eve encountered the serpent, what did the serpent say? Did God really say that if you eat from the fruit of this tree, you'll be like God? He played on her desire to be like God. There's a difference. I want you to notice this. There's a difference between being like him in character and being like him in status. Are you with me? There's a difference between being like him in the way you live your life, the way that pleases him, where your holiness is reflective of his holiness, because without his holiness, there is no holiness that exists, versus you becoming the centerpiece of all humanity that focuses on you. And unfortunately, even within ministries and even within my line of work, there are ministries that center around the specific gift of a person or specific gift of a celebrity preacher or celebrity worship leader or celebrity this or celebrity that. And it may not necessarily even be that person's fault, but they have built such a following where their reliance on their Christianity exists around the teaching gift or the ability to lead worship of this person. They inevitably and subtly, living in the plain of Shinar, build a tower of exaltation that causes them to think, okay, this guy is super high and walking close to God in the heavens, that, or this lady is super high, that I can't get my revelation unless it comes through the filter of that person. That's how cults start. How many of you have been around people, or some of us may have been in cults before, right? Where it's centered on the revelation of God through a prophet or of God through somebody who got a special revelation after eating some nasty pizza the night before, and then they got some revelation. Now, that's indigestion. And then they had the nerve to write that down, and then they have millions of followers on Facebook now, and they've started a culture where they've got everybody worshiping them. It's subtle how that happens, but it happens. And here at Every Nation, one of the things that will continue to save us from this is to decentralize ministry. Look, I don't want to be the only pastor here. I know it's just a matter of time. I've only been here 3.5 years. The church has been in existence for going on to 5 years. But my heart is to work myself out of a job so we have more than one pastor, so we have many pastors to plant many churches and decentralize things, because you'll notice their last fear was, the last two reasons of them building this tower was to make a name for themselves, number one, and they were scared of being scattered all over the earth. Here at Every Nation, we are never scared. I ain't never scared of going all over the earth. That's what God has called us to do. But right now is the character molding time. Right now is God strengthening us, God equipping us, God empowering us so that when we are released into the earth, and I did say when, not if, we will have a team of people, and God always works best through team. When Jesus walked as God wrapped in human flesh, he did not walk on his own. He decided to walk with disciples, to make disciples. And they were flaky, man. And some of us may look at the disciples and go, man, they're a bunch of flakes. Man, they should be sponsored by Cadbury or dandruff shampoo because they're so flaky, you know. But here's the thing. I see a lot of myself in those disciples. Don't get me wrong. I do. But it's the power is that God uses fallible people to disperse his mission in the earth. It was never to build a tower. It was to build travel agents. He is doing better than Flight Center, or he should be. Forget about all these travel websites. Not just Every Nation Brisbane, but the mandate of the body of Christ is to disperse. And we'll get to this in a bit more. But notice how they're building. They want to walk as equals with God. They want to make a name for themselves. And they don't want to go all over the earth. They'd rather build up than out. Uh-oh, then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, sky tower, which the children of man had built. Now notice this, you know, he commends them actually. He starts by saying, wow, they are one people. It's amazing what can happen with unity, even if the cause is wrong. They have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Unity is great. How many of you believe that? Right? Unity is great, but if the cause is wrong, what you're building is actually pointless. Psalm 127, and I know we'll be touching on it next week, says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. That's why we've got to check the cause of what God's called us to build in our lives. Think about the cause, the main cause of why you live, your schedule, your finances. Are they directed in such a place where God is exalted? Or do you bring unity around your family and friends around a cause that is not eternal? It's temporal. It may be good, but it's not God. Think about that for a moment. I mean, it's the reason why I'm a big NBA fan, and I know we've got a lot of NRL fans and Super Rugby fans here. But you think about it, sports teams. I mean, it's the great, you think about when we unite as a people around a cause, it's either around sports or war, right? And like you think about sports teams. I think about the Brisbane Broncos, the greatest NRL team in the nation. If you don't like the Brisbane Broncos, please move. Because that's our team, not our church's team. No, we're not officially endorsed by them, but it's my team because it's my city. And, you know, I think about how many people gravitate towards Suncorp Stadium when they play other teams, especially the teams from Sydney that are good or Melbourne Storm, you know. But like, if you think about it, there's this unity around a cause and it's great. I'm not saying sports is wrong, but if it's your be all and end all, then you're building a tower for the wrong purpose. You think about it, your tower, if it's all about sports and not sports through the filter of the kingdom of God, your life is dependent on an inflated cow skin going across a painted line. Your whole existence revolves around that. Think about that for a moment. That'll bring you right down to earth. I mean, I love the NBA, but it's the same thing, except our try line is a basket that is suspended off a pole. It's the same thing. But so many of us gravitate toward, and this is what we call idolatry. These things aren't necessarily bad, but if the song is rugby at the center of it all, from beginning to the end, 80 minutes, it'll always be the Broncos. Sorry, I didn't mean to sing blasphemously, but like, if we're really true about the idols in our hearts, those things inevitably become what we worship and cause us not to outreach. That's why you get people who are in idolatry. When you tell them about Jesus, it's more of a task. It's more of a, oh man, you know what? God's called us to make disciples. Yeah, yeah, good idea. But why me? Look, my point is not to get the Great Commission in you. My point is to enable you to get in Christ. And when you are passionate about Christ, that will naturally become your heart. His cause becomes your cause. His purpose becomes your purpose. And some of you in here may not know Jesus right now. I'm here to tell you that, you know, with all the love I have in my heart, to tell you that whatever you're living for apart from Christ is not what you're supposed to live for. Like I said, the first week of this series, we were all created to worship. We are all worshiping something. Worship means to prioritize and to sacrifice for, right? That which takes glorification in our lives and which we're willing to sacrifice everything for, that is what we worship. So if we worship those things, then that's supposed to be what fulfills us, what sustains us, what brings us comfort. But how many of you know those things don't bring comfort that lasts long? Those things don't bring us a stability that lasts long. I'm here to tell you today that the only one worth worshiping is Jesus Christ. So here comes God. He says, come, furthermore, for the establishment of the Trinity, by the way, let us go down. It's not just God in one person, God in three persons. Let us go down and there confuse their language so that there they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over all the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. He confused their language. Can you imagine this? Like the brothers out there, they're all speaking a chosen language, then all of a sudden the other one's like, start speaking Tagalog. Talaga? Galing, no? And the other one's like Spanish, like Dora language, like speaking. What's he saying? Me no comprende, you know. And the other one's an Australian. He's like, I don't know what's going on here, mate. You know, I'm just doing the barbecue for the tower builders, mate. You know, none of them understand. Like, all of them were speaking a certain language, but all of a sudden they're like speaking in different languages. The Samoans are at the back doing the umu, and you know, oh, coffee or lie. You know, they don't know what's going on. All these different languages are happening and God enabled an opportunity for them to. This is the only place where God confuses. God in general does not add confusion anywhere, but he confuses them for a purpose. It's a good purpose, and that's to disperse them over the earth. He wants to do anything that he can to disperse them over the earth. And we see this, and hopefully you're able to see this. When we go to the Great Commission, we see this. When we go to the Great Commandment in Genesis 1, in fact, let's go there. Genesis 1 says, and this is like many of you know, Genesis 1 is like the first chapter of the Bible, right? So any instruction he gives there will echo itself into the rest of Scripture. So Genesis 1 says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Everybody shout multiply. For the Filipinos here, remember that blog site? Multiply. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Not just fill Logan. Not just fill Chermside. Not even just fill Brisbane. Fill the earth. God wants us to be global. Globally local. Thinking about where we are, changing the atmosphere, being a thermostat in the spirit right where we are, but thinking about how can I reach the nations within the nation that God has called me to live in right now. Being fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, like take it over and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The Great Commission says, go. Everybody say go. Doesn't say invite, although invitation is good, but it's not the Great Commission. It says go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just your own nation. Okay. And this is not just cultural nations or ethnicities. This is taking into regard nations that are beyond your nation, even cultural nations in terms of some of y'all like gaming in here. There's a gaming nation that is very real. You need to go over to the knitting nation and make disciples from time to time. Like, sure, make disciples in your nation of World of Warcraft, but show them the real wow. Show the world across the different nations, like get around people that don't share the same interests, the same cultural experiences as you do. There's strengths that you bring to the body of Christ if you come into that realization, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Again, God says, come, let us go down there and confuse their language. And what does he do in verse 8? So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. It's the Lord that dispersed them. Therefore, its name was called Babel, right? And this is where we get the term Babel. How many of you have heard the term Babel? Oh, man, all he does is babble, babble, babble. Like the teacher on Charlie Brown. You know, like, that's babbling because you don't understand what they're going on about. It just goes in one ear and out your nose. You know, it's just not communicating to you. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over all the face of the earth. Understanding that this is the tower that they built, right? The next part of Genesis 11, you see this genealogy. Go ahead. If you have your Bible, it's good to mark it up and just see this. You see this genealogy, and the genealogy ends with this guy, Terah, okay? Terah is the father of Abram. But in order to understand the context of how this falls into our laps, you got to understand what Terah means. And Terah literally means a goat that wanders, a wandering goat. Please don't call your kids Terah. Please don't do it. I will not dedicate your children. We're going to change his name. Don't call him Terah. A wandering goat. Did you know that the commission that was given to Abram, who became Abraham, Abram means the father of nation, and Abraham, his name was expanded upon the giving of the covenant to Abraham to mean the father of many nations. Did you know that that was actually for Terah? But Terah lived out his name. The idea of the wandering goat is there's a delay. There's a procrastination that happens. Like, yeah, I'll do it. God's coming to do it. I'll do it. And this is one of the main reasons why people don't reach out is they know it's supposed to happen, but they'd rather build a tower than travel out. Or they get on this misnomer that because I am on a treadmill, I am moving. Or because I am walking around a revolving door, I am moving. Woo! Move of God, move of God, move of God. But God wants us to progress out. And so the promise actually landed with Abram. Let's not be a Torah generation. In fact, let's not build for ourselves an empire. Let's build the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is always out. It's always go. I want you to catch this thought. I wasn't going to go here, but I feel I need to go here really quickly. Just take 1 minute on this thought. The word to come to God, the word to come to Christ is always an invitation. It's always open. Because worship of God doesn't authentically happen unless it's under the person's volition, right? No, their choice. Even though God is sovereign and God predestines and God knows the choices that we're going to make, He allows for us to make the choice within that sovereignty of whether we're going to worship God or not. And so when He reveals Himself to us, we come into this opportunity to worship Him. That's an invitation. But once you're invited, the command is to go. The invitation is to come, but the command is always to go. You can tell a person that's come for real by their going. Did you catch that? Like, you can tell a person who's really encountered the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit by how they go. But too many of us would rather stay and build for ourselves a tower of the establishment of our name, the establishment of our spirituality that lifts up my ministry, rather than building the name of Jesus and enabling people all over the world to see how good He is, how reckless His love is for all of us. You can tell the power of somebody who's been moved by that and not moved by compulsion or moved by parental pressure, but moved by an authentic touch of the Holy Spirit by how they go. And that's what we want to see here. We want to see the power and the presence of God impact people's lives and completely transform them so that you don't even recognize them, that they just take flight and want to go out. And that's why the commission that was given actually to those who were the tower builders was given to the travel agent of Abram, who's noted in Romans as the father of our faith. Genesis 12 lands and says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go." Sounds familiar, right? "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you." Now, how many of you, if God said, "You know what, go." Go where? "I'm going to show you. I want you to leave everything that's familiar, everything that's secure." I'm not talking about a geographical move, although that can happen. But I'm talking about a move to trust God, to go to a place that He will show us. Notice the things that he lists. Like our culture, but it probably even deeper, for those of you who've had the opportunity to go to Israel, you realize the depth of family tie. And he says, you know what, go from your country. Have you ever met a Jewish person that's not loyal to being Jewish? Some of the most loyal people to their nation. Go from your country. What? But I like my country. My country is awesome. And your kindred, meaning your family, your kinfolk, your cousins, and your father's house. Oh, but he has food. "To the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Look, the options are before us, church. We can either walk as Abram, the father of our faith, the father of the Christian faith, according to Romans chapter 4 and 5. As someone who was imperfect, but just trusted God. Someone who failed many times. How many of you have been there before? I've been there a ton. Like, my hands and my feet should be up. But God still trusts me because I have the grace to trust Him. You can either be in that situation where you become like Abram and say, "God, I want to trust you today with every aspect of my life. I'm going out. And wherever you lead me, I will take up my cross and follow you. I will preach the gospel. I will share my faith with the people that you lead me out to." The option is Abram or Terah. And sorry to be so blunt, but that's the options that are before us. You can either live awoken by the Spirit today, or you can live like a sleeping, wandering goat. And that's about as blunt a message as I can give you with the love of God today from His scripture. God has called us to go out. God has called us to have a compassion for those who are in our city, in our lives, in our circles. How will they hear without a preacher? You're the preacher. Not just me. You. You carry the gospel. How will they preach unless they're sent?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.